Today, organic foods come of age in America. If they are grown and processed under strict new organic standards, they will receive a stamp of legitimacy from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Until now, standards have been different from state to state, leaving consumers unsure of exactly what it meant for a product to be certified organic. The new national standards may help, but not everybody in the organic farming community is happy about them. NPR's John McChesney reports.
Out in Bolinas, on the California coast just north of San Francisco, you'll find one of the pioneers of the back-to-the-land movement of the 60s and 70s. Warren Weber got a Ph.D. in English literature from UC Berkeley in the 70s, but faced with a bad teaching job market, he decided that planting was better than publishing to keep from perishing. He's gratified that finally his produce will bear the USDA certification label. He stands on the rich black soil he's farmed for nearly 30 years and points out the variety of lettuce crops he's growing there.
These guys are blocking out their romaine, and you can see small grasses right there around that base of that plant. He's going to take those out.
Near where we're standing, five Mexican farm workers are hoeing weeds on the romaine rows. It's a graphic illustration of the extra labor needed to do organic farming. No herbicides allowed here. With almost surgical precision, the workers are cutting weeds within a quarter inch of the romaine plants. It's often been remarked that the organic industry is one of the few in the country to ask for tight government regulation. Weber says it wasn't just the farmers who asked for standards. Consumers demanded them.
The consumers said, look, you know, what's going on? How do we know this is organic? I go into a store, claims are being made. What do we really know? So as an industry, we decided we had to straighten that out.
The standards have gone through over a decade of argument and definition. The new standards codify the most basic definition of organic, that synthetic fertilizers and pesticides are prohibited. There will be three levels of labels, 100% organic, which means what it says, and organic, which means that at least 95% of ingredients must be organic, and then there's made with organic ingredients, which means that at least 70% of what's in it has to be organic. A few other standards are worth mentioning. Cows on organic dairies must have access to pasture, and other animals grown for organic meat must have access to the outdoors. And there's a paper trail for certified food, all the way from the retailer back to the farmer. Former Agriculture Secretary Dan Glickman was present at the birth of the organic rulemaking. He remembers that the first proposed rules did not explicitly exclude genetically modified organisms, irradiation, or sewage sludge as fertilizer.
We got hundreds of thousands of pieces of mail. Somebody told me that it was perhaps one of the heaviest grassroots deluge on the government for a rulemaking that had ever happened in the history of the government.
275,000 messages, to be exact. Needless to say, the new standards prohibit genetically modified organisms, irradiation, and sewage sludge. But everything is not all rosy with the new standards. Some small farmers feel that the new standards favor big farms because getting certified can be expensive, and they say only wealthy farmers can afford it. And today, there are more big organic farms than in the early days. In California, for example, 2% of the organic farmers produce more than half the crops. Warren Weber, a small farmer himself, hears the grumbling.
So far, what I'm hearing is that there's a lot of people saying, well, you know, I'm not going to get certified under this law. I've been organic, and I'm just, the industry now is going to the big boys and the government, and I don't want to be regulated, and I don't want to be part of that, and it's too expensive, and I'm not going to do that.
But Weber disagrees, and he feels this disgruntlement could dilute the meaning of organic standards because some farmers will exploit public distrust of government and insist that their crop is as good as the certified variety.
To imply that you're farming as well as the organic standards without having any real verification of that, I think is very misleading.
Weber feels that smaller farms can afford certification and can make it by selling locally to restaurants and farmers markets. Many people in the organic industry are predicting that the new standards will bring on a significant increase in organic sales. Margaret Wittenberg is with the Whole Foods grocery store chain.
All in all, I think it's going to be a boost for the industry, including having more manufacturers and producers interested in looking into organic at this time, since they now know what they really need to do.
But there are some people in the industry who fear that the hype over the new standards could create problems. Gene Kahn is an industry pioneer who's gone big time. His Cascadian Farms brand of frozen organic food is now part of General Mills. But in spite of that, Kahn believes that the organic industry is still quite fragile.
We have to be careful not to exaggerate the impact of standards on consumer demand. I think October 21st is a big day. We're all going to celebrate the implementation of these standards. But consumers are going to move toward organic over time, and we wouldn't want to see farmers get overly optimistic about the opportunity.
Kahn knows that when too many farmers rush in and supply exceeds demand, prices plummet and farms go out of business. That's what's happened in conventional agriculture, and he doesn't want to see that happen to organic. John McChesney, NPR News, Bolinas, California.